Thank you, Tim. Well, good morning, Faith. Hope everybody had plenty of sleep last night, even if you were here late for the concert or helping clean up, help set up. We had lots of volunteers to help clean up after the concert, get things ready for this morning. So I want to thank them. They did a great job. This morning is obviously Palm Sunday. So obviously we're going to be talking about Palm Sunday. So our verses today are from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, picture that same scene taking place today. Jesus is coming into one of the big cities in the United States. He's coming into New York or Chicago, L.A., Manhattan, Kansas, another big city. That's where Cloverton's from, so I'm just picking on them a little. But if Jesus came in, what would happen? He'd be leading that procession. He would come into the city. He would be arrested immediately on site. He would be a wanted man. He would be on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and for a variety of reasons. First of all, the FDA would want him for turning water into wine without a license. The EPA would want him for killing fig trees. The AMA would want him arrested for practicing medicine without a license. The Department of Health for asking people to open up graves, for raising people from the dead, and for feeding 5,000 people in the wilderness without the proper license. The NEA would want him for teaching without certification. OSHA would be after him because he was walking on water without wearing a life jacket. The SPCA would want him because he drove hogs into the sea. The National Board of Psychiatrists for giving advice on how to live a guilt-free life without the proper credentials. Now would be after him because he didn't pick a female disciple. The National Abortion Rights League for saying that whoever harms a child would be better off had they never been born. And last but not least, the Zoning Department for building mansions without a building permit. He'd be a wanted man today. But you know what? Over 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, he was a wanted man at that point already. He knew this, but yet he still chose to lead that procession. Here we have a crowd. They're praising him. They're full of energy. And we have another group of people. We have the religious leaders of the day plotting already on how they're going to do away with Jesus. They've already been thinking of ideas and ways. Jesus knows this. This city is filled with over 2 million people, either in Jerusalem or around it, because what time of year is this? This is Passover. So we have 2 million people. That's a large city right now, in this time, in this age. Back then, 2 million people in a city was enormous. Hard to picture. But now, up to this point, Jesus has been pretty much avoiding being put in the forefront. He's been avoiding being made a spectacle of having people praise him. He's been busy teaching, educating, and leading. But he changes. Now he's in front of this demonstration. He's actually helped push it forward and put himself there. What has changed? Why would he do this? Well, there's two main reasons why he does this. The first is to fulfill prophecy. In Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's fulfilling prophecy. Second reason he does this is to force the Jewish leaders into action. To this point, they're plotting, they're scheming, they're figuring things out. When they see the reaction of the crowds and of the people of Jerusalem and how they're reacting to Jesus, it's then and there that they decide Jesus must be destroyed. They can't let him go on. They have to put a halt to this. All this is taking place, but it's taking place under the watch of the Roman Empire. The Romans are probably watching this, and you're wondering, what are they thinking about such a large display, such a large demonstration? Well, the Romans were experts on parades and big public appearances. When you were a Roman general, and you were to be honored returning from war, and they were going to have a parade for you, usually they did this. You were on a white horse or a chariot. Prisoners of war were bound up and following behind you. And the only way you achieved this, you had to have killed at least 5,000 people in that battle. You had to oversee that. So if someone received this honor, they were a great warrior. They had demolished and totally annihilated their enemy. But with Jesus, we see him coming in riding on a donkey, on a colt. Why is this? At this time, when you rode into a town on a donkey, when a king came in on a donkey, this was a symbol of peace. This meant he was not there in a threatening manner. He was there on a peaceful mission. Jesus is on a mission of peace. He's not just on a mission of peace for that time. He is there to reconcile man with God. That is the peaceful mission Jesus is in the process of fulfilling. That is why he is here. And it is very successful. When we look in ahead to Acts 4:4, we see that. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. This is where Peter and Paul have been put in prison for preaching the word of God, for talking about Jesus Christ, but still that message reached. We still are in number of 5,000 followers just from the simple message of salvation, the gift. Jesus is reconciling us. This is not a victory through force. This is a victory of love over hate. It's a victory of truth over lies and deception. This is a victory of life over death. So as we look at our verse today, one of the most important characters in the story, other than Jesus, we have the crowd chanting, cheering for Jesus. But this is the same crowd that a few days later are going to be hollering, "Crucify him," and calling for him to be put on that cross. We have the two disciples. They obey, they go get the donkeys, they bring them back. But these are two of the men that abandoned Jesus, just like all the rest. When I'm reading this, the most important character in this story, to me, is the colt. You're going to be thinking, how is the colt important? Well, first of all, what's a donkey? A donkey is considered a beast of burden, okay? You have a donkey, he is the one that works. He's hardworking. He's stubborn. You have a colt. The colt is young, typically unridden, unbroken. He is a gentle animal. The donkey represents the Jewish people. Donkey's a beast of burden. The Jewish people have been burdened with Jewish law. They are hindered from coming to the Lord by the man-made laws that they're obeying. The colt, unbridled, represents the church. It represents the age of the Gentile, of everybody being saved. The donkey is representative of the old covenant. The colt is representative of the new covenant. Now, a new colt has never been ridden. He is full of energy. He was considered extremely valuable for religious ceremonies. That is why Jesus chose to ride the colt and not the donkey. He didn't sit on the donkey because the donkey was considered more of a work animal. The colt is considered more up to the task of carrying in royalty. That is what was more fitting for Jesus. Jesus is royalty. He's owning up to that. He's letting it be known that he is the Son of God, the one true King. He's on a mission. This colt is carrying Jesus, and that is his mission, to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. We are just like that colt. It is our job, it is our mission to take Jesus, to carry him out to the world, to the lost world that we live in and that we're in every single day. That is why I think he is the most important character. He is us. He is what we need to be and what we need to do. So how can we be like a colt? How can we do that mission? First, we need to be untied. It says in our verses today, in verse 2, go to the village ahead you, and once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. They were untied so they could do their mission. So what is it that ties you down? What is it that's tying us all down and keeps us all bound? Sin. We're all sinners. Sin is what can keep us tied down. It binds us. It can keep us from being effective witnesses for Christ. How does this happen to us? If you're a Christian, you've asked Christ to save you. How can you be bound by this sin? It starts with sin of omission. If you have a sin of omission, that will lead you to a sin of commission. And once you're committing the sin will keep you from your mission, which is to spread the word of God. People in this world today, people have become apathetic toward church. Church is just something that's it's around. Don't give it a thought. Don't think twice about whether or not you're there. And you know why the world thinks that way? Because Christians think that way. Christians have become apathetic toward church. They've decided that church is a bad thing and that we don't necessarily need to be there. We don't necessarily need to put our energy into it if we've asked Christ to be our Savior. Part of being a Christian is being involved in the Christian community. We need to not be apathetic. We need to not be tied to a sin of omission, which causes commission, which means we have no mission. The second reason, we need to be obedient and obediently serve the Lord. 6 and 7, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks for them for Jesus to sit on. The donkey and the colt, they obediently followed the two disciples. We talked about the donkey being headstubborn, headstrong, In reality, donkeys are a loving, caring, hardworking animal. Usually, if a donkey displays traits of stubbornness, if they act up, they're feisty, they're hard-headed, it's because their human master has mistreated them. Same can be said for us. We get stubborn. What are we being treated cruelly by? We're being treated cruelly by sin. When sin gets a hold of us, it abuses us. We are mistreated by it. It is our taskmaster. But Jesus came to set us free. We are to obey his word. Some people will say, I read my Bible, but I just can't understand it. You know what? You're never going to understand all of it. There are people who have spent their entire life studying the Bible, and they don't get everything about it. There are passages. 10 years ago, I read it, and this is what I got out of it. 10 years later, I read it some more, and now I have a new insight. My old insight is still true, but I have a different perspective. I've lived life. I've learned more. But there's still a lot I don't know. That goes for everyone. But what we need to do is start by obeying what we do know. The things in the Bible that we already can read plain as day and understand. We don't need PhDs. We don't need doctorates. All we need to do is read them, understand the simple phrasing of them. We need to love God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul. We need to do unto others. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Don't swear. These are all simple things. They're easy to understand. Let's start by obeying them and learn the rest. We have our entire lives to try to become more like Christ. But we need to start with what we already understand out of his word. We need to be in it. We need to obey that, and then we can work on the rest. Next way we need to be like the colt is we need to be humble. Matthew 21:5. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus came gently. He didn't come in with a sword, a spear, with armies behind him, slaying people. A donkey is a lowly animal. Can't say so much for humans. Humans can try to be humble. But what gets in the way? How do we lose our humbleness? It's when we forget who we are and how we got to where we are. We start thinking something we've accomplished is because of stuff we did. Our pride gets in the way. Our salvation is by his grace. It is not by our doing. We need to remember that. We need not to be proud and arrogant. My opinion is God hates pride. Pride can be good or bad. It can work both ways. But when I read the Bible, it tells us that Satan was filled with pride while in heaven. To me, that means that pride existed before sin. Pride is the root of all sin. It's because of pride that we do not have revival in this country. It's because of pride that relatives argue and fight. Because friends hold grudges. They don't reunite with each other. I ask you, who out there do you need to forgive? Who are you holding a grudge against? Whether in your mind it's justified or not. Because you know what? We've been reunited. We've been forgiven by God. And who's responsible for that problem between us and God? We are. It's us. But God chose to forgive us. He chose to love us, and He chose to take the first step. So guess what? Your job, your responsibility is to take the first step in forgiveness. But Pat, I didn't do it. It's his fault. She said it. I didn't do anything wrong. Neither did God. We need to try to emulate God, to be like Jesus. So we need to take the first step. We need to be the one to go to them and say, I'm sorry. Whatever's going on between us, we need to work it out. We need to forgive that person. So many times when I've talked to people who are having a disagreement with a family member, with a friend, with a colleague, usually one of them doesn't even realize what the problem is. They just know the other person's mad at them. It's been as much a misunderstanding as anything else. Lack of communication is behind it. We need to be the ones who suck it up, who are brave enough to take that first step and to ask for forgiveness, to be humble. Next thing we need to do is be forgiving. Not yet. Jumped ahead on my button. How is being forgiving like a donkey? If you go back to the story of Balaam, he mistreated his donkey in the worst way possible. He's riding. That poor animal is trying to save him. It's trying to turn away from death in front of them, from danger. And every time it does, he beats it. But that donkey continued to forgive him and love him. We need to do that same thing. When we get cross with someone, usually takes once, and human beings will fly off the handle. We forget about the tremendous mercy we've been receiving, who it is that we need to forgive. We need to continue to make that first move. If we don't, we'll never be able to take the message of salvation to the lost world. The greatest example of this, we see it in Luke 23:34, that's supposed to be. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus is being tortured. He's already received the most unbelievably cruel treatment any person has ever endured. The fact he's still alive after what they've done to him is amazing. He knows what's coming on that cross soon after, and he still is asking God to forgive us. He is saving us. In order to be more like Christ, we need to be patient. We are some of the most impatient people in the world. I know a guy, we'll call him Frank. He's a businessman. He is not known for being patient at all. He likes everything his way. And he's very positive. He's all this, you know, everything's got to be positive, positive energy. So when somebody talks negative at all, if somebody's taking too much of his time, he gets very impatient. One day his wife calls him. She says to him, oh, honey, you know, and she starts making small talk. He's having a very hard day. He's got meeting after meeting. He's got a lot of work to get done. So Frank, being Frank, interrupts her. He says, honey, I need you to get to the point and quit being Wendy Weiner from Saturday Night Live. I need you to just, you know, pep it up a little bit and get tell me what you got to tell me. And so, okay, all right. You know, so she thinks for a second. She says, well, in her most cheerful voice, the airbags on the new BMW work great. So, that's my dad joke for today, all right? So, but we're like that. We live in a society where everything is now. Everything's high tech. Everything's a 30-second soundbite. Let's hit the drive-thru at the fast food restaurant, eat in the car. Nobody has patience. Nobody has any patience. How many here, you set your microwave to warm something up for 2 minutes, and 30 seconds into it, you're going, come on, hurry up, let's go. In my house, I always find the microwave with like 10 seconds or so left on the timer. Couldn't wait that last 10 seconds for it to pop out and say it's done. You know, it drives me crazy. We are impatient. We are a gratification now society. We will not wait. And when I think about patience, I think of a story that I read in a class I had in college about a king. This king was an old wise man, but he grew very fond, it happens to be, and made me think of it for this sermon, of his donkey. He wanted to know what his donkey was thinking. His donkey was his most prized possession. So he called in the wisest people he knew in the kingdom, all of his teachers, his poets, his writers, his lyricists, his bricklayers, carpenters, you name it. He called them in and told them all he wanted them to teach his donkey to talk. Well, it's the king, so they tried, but of course they failed, and each and every one of them was killed for their failure. So the king puts out to his kingdom 50,000 gold coins to anybody who can teach his donkey to talk. Nobody came. They're not crazy. They're like, we're not going up there. It's certain death. As soon as you fail, you're dead. Time goes by. There's this odd little guy named Bob who's a farmer. Bob decides, I'm going to go up and do it. As he's traveling the long path up to the castle, his friends and people who know him are going, Bob, don't go. You're going to fail. You're going to die. Bob's like, yeah, thanks. He keeps going. He finally gets to the castle. He goes on in, and he talks to the king. He tells the king, I can teach your donkey to talk, but you have to fulfill two things for me. The king's like, anything. He's all excited. Somebody's going to do this. I need $50,000 a year for myself, and I need $50,000 a year to take care of the donkey. The king's like, oh. Okay, no problem, but how long is it going to take? Bob responds, 50 years. Why is it going to take 50 years, Bob? It's going to take 50 years because I want this donkey to be the smartest, most eloquent speaking donkey that's ever existed. The king, so overjoyed at this thought, agrees to the deal. On the way back to his farm, he's leading the donkey, and people are asking Bob, you're never going to teach the donkey to talk. You're going to die. He's going to kill you. Bob just kind of shook his head and said, you know what? For 50 years, I'll be receiving $100,000 a year, and I am going to be able to live more comfortably than any of you. And what's going to happen in those 50 years? Either one, the old king will die, I will die, or the donkey will die. I just need patience. That's what we need. We are so impatient, but this world is that in the big scheme of things. We are going to heaven for eternity. I think we can be patient for this little speck of time that we're on this earth. We can show common courtesy to our fellow human beings. We can display that patience that we need. We need to be more like that colt. We need to show patience, and we need to carry Christ to this world around us. It is our job. It's Palm Sunday. Let's go out there and let's start a revival in our community. Let's do the exact thing Jesus told us to do. This is the time of year we're looking forward to Easter next week. Don't forget, in between now and then, those same people, and it would be us today, fulfilling that prophecy, would cry, "Crucify him." Let's start a revival in this town, in this county. Let's welcome Christ. Let's lay everything we got down in front of him and say, "It's yours, Lord. Tell me how you want me to do it. Tell me what you want me to say." We saw in our passage, they shouted Hosanna. Hosanna is a term used to express joy, adoration. Let's use it now. Want everybody to say it with me in the count of three, Hosanna. One, two, three. Hosanna. All right. We're just about done, so let's everybody stand up. Come on. I want you to pretend you're at a Packer game, if that's your thing. Even more so, you're at your child's recital. They've just finished the big solo. You're at your child's play, and it's time for the ovation, for the curtain call. Your child's the musician. Your child's the athlete who just made the big play. I want that kind of enthusiasm. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the living God, came down to this earth and died to save us. That's what we're celebrating when we say, Hosanna. They shouted it over and over again. So let's do it three times. Let's hear it like we really mean it. All right? One, two, three. Hosanna! 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 Dear God, Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this great gift you've given us. I ask you, Lord, so let the Holy Spirit fill us. Let us leave this place. Let us leave here with energy. Let us go out and be willing to share that salvation with our world, with our family and our friends who need to hear that message, Lord. I ask you, Lord, protect us and protect this entire community. Let us embrace you as our Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you. Stick around for connection time and have some donuts and coffee. And have a beautiful Palm Sunday. Look forward to being here next week.